another stock backdating victim.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Bruce Caritz is leaving as the chairman and CEO of KB Home. After 20 years in the driver's seat, he's received a pink slip. Apparently, he backdated his own option grants to increase his pay. Maybe he wasn't making enough. How about $155 million a year? Caritz is expected to return about $13 million to the company. Two of the world's biggest oil companies are slugging it out in the British High Court. BP and Shell are fighting over a single word, power. Stephen Beard reports from London.
This is a trademark battle and a power struggle of sorts. BP claims that Shell has infringed its power trademark by naming its new premium oil brand V-Power. Shell vigorously rejects the claim. The company says it simply employed a word in everyday use. So what's in a word? Quite a lot, says trademark attorney Maggie Ramage.
It's quite common for companies to use single everyday words as trademarks, and it's possible to build up rights in those marks, although it can take years. You can prevent others using the name, and it can be an extremely valuable asset for the company.
BP guards jealously what it considers to be its trademarks. The company's just tried to copyright a particular shade of green in Australia, but that legal action failed. Australia's federal court ruled the shade of green was not sufficiently distinctive to belong only to BP. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
When you get sick, you go to see your doctor. But that option either doesn't exist or is becoming a lot more expensive for many people. More than 46 million Americans don't have health insurance. That's almost 16% of the population. Today, the health insurance industry's main lobbying group says it will announce a plan to provide access to health coverage for anyone who wants it. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay has a story.
America's Health Insurance Plans, or AHIP, has worked on the proposal for 7 months. The group's president says it will emphasize prevention and early intervention, which would signal a major departure from the way many insurers now approach illness. Diane Rowland at the Kaiser Family Foundation says this is the industry's way of getting out in front of the debate, especially as some states work to come up with their own individual solutions.
We certainly see that Massachusetts and its commitment to going to universal coverage has sparked a renewed debate over how we insure all Americans. And I think the AHIP proposal is obviously their way of saying, let us put out a plan so you can react to our plan. We'd rather devise our own than be dictated as to how we do it.
Kaiser reports that despite signs of an improving economy, the percentage of the population with employer-sponsored insurance continued to decline last year. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
DVD piracy is big in China. It's so big that one of the major movie studios has decided that the only way to beat it is to lower prices. Fox is going to sell cheap legal copies of its films in China. The DVD market is huge there. One reason is the Chinese government only allows 20 foreign films to be released in theaters every year. The combination of falling oil prices and some strong corporate profits helped the market to end the week on an up note. The Dow rose 5 points to 12,108. The Nasdaq climbed 12 points to 2389. And the S&P inched up 2 points. This is Marketplace. You might want to sit down for this news. The price of that can of coffee that you buy at the grocery store could be going up. Rachel Dornhelm has a story.
Coffee futures for December shot up recently, hitting a six-month high on the New York Board of Trade. The spike could percolate down to consumers of supermarket brands before it hits fans of specialty labels. Coffee roaster Chuck Jones says that's because companies like Maxwell House operate on tight profit margins. Retailers like Starbucks, he says, have bigger margins, so they're better able to absorb fluctuations.
So you might not see an immediate effect in the cup of latte as soon as you might see the effect of a two-pound can of Uban.
Jones says commodities traders keep their eye on a few main coffee cycles, one that's 30 years, one that's annual, and one that's pegged to freezes in Brazil. He says when the downturn in multiple cycles overlap, that's when prices go through the roof. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Microlending is when small amounts of money are loaned to budding entrepreneurs. Microvending is when small business owners sell tiny amounts of their product. This idea is taking off in the impoverished African nation of Kenya. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk, Kitty Feldy reports.
This is our oven. It has assisted us for a long time. That's why it's wearing out.
The kitchen equipment at Nairobi's Cornerstone Faith Assembly Church wouldn't pass muster at the Cordon Bleu. But every day, catering students like Naomi Wambugu use the ancient stove to toast peanuts and bake queen cakes.
I guess you call them muffins.
Wambugu sells the snacks on the streets of Nairobi. The parish came up with the idea of helping people to become micro-vendors, sole proprietors selling small items to their neighbors. It's one way to counter Kenya's 40% unemployment. Vendors sell an amount even the poorest Kenyans can afford. Tiny packets of nuts and individual queen cakes for about a penny apiece. It's a model borrowed from the multinational Unilever.
That makes some sense to me.
That's consultant Whitney Schneidman. He was in charge of economic issues in sub-Saharan Africa in the Clinton administration.
It's not infrequent that one will see packets of soap that may be good for two washes. I mean, you would never find something like that in the United States, but in Africa, it's rather common to see.
Schneidman says it gets back to a basic business principle, economies of scale. You make a profit by selling something your customer can afford.
People want to get into the marketplace and they want to start selling their products, and that will generate revenue, hopefully. And if it's managed well, then they can grow it from there.
Across town, Holy Cross Catholic Church is training a different sort of micro-vendor, tailors.
I need him to do better than this. The pocket is not straight. It's not the way it is supposed to be.
Sewing student Jacob Amandi doesn't mind the criticism of his work on a green school uniform shirt. He's determined to set up his own one-man tailoring kiosk. He'll have competition. Tiny stalls selling everything from onions to water buckets crowd the dusty suburbs surrounding Nairobi. But Amandi is optimistic.
The teacher doesn't teach us only part of dressmaking, also how to socialize with people outside there. It will make us to get many customers.
Omandi says he'll start with one beautiful dress and grow from there. In Kenya, I'm Kitty Feldy for Marketplace.
If you're on the go, take us with you. We're podcasting. You can find out more by going to our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.